sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Ginaldo.
Ginaldo. And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Wolfman. As always, John will give us a plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts. Actually, I should say Ginaldo will give us the plot in 5 words and give us our first thoughts to go to do spoiler analysis.
And is it pronounced Wolfman or is it pronounced Wolfman? That's a woof thing to woof. Say.
It's a roof man.
Woof. Yeah, roof man. It's like, he's changing. He keeps putting shingles on the roof.
Like on his body? No, on the roof. He is.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't seem that bad, but go talk to him. And then all of a sudden he's got like a blatantly racist Mexican accent. I do more.
Okay.
More money. That's the movie I want. How do we get representation in film? This is the only way.
This is the only way. But first, we go back to TV Corner and we're reviewing Yellow Jacket Season 3, Episode 8, titled A Normal Boring Life.
Yes. No, I was kidding.
I guess that's sort of summed up in the beginning of the episode, right? When Shauna, adult Shauna's having that dream and as she's like a grocery store cashier, and then you have Jackie there kind of being shitty with her.
Yeah.
And then like something about like moths to the light, right? So I'm sure this is all very Lynchian in its execution, but what do you think is going on there?
I have no idea. I remember watching that and being like, okay. And then it just kind of moves on, right? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll get explained as they've been smelling poison gas, even as adults.
Gassing it up in the cave. Yeah. So flashback stuff, because I think the present day stuff is probably the more interesting things. This is where we meet, like, they've captured Hannah and Cody, right? Joe McHale. Yes. And they're basically just, like, asking Hannah if they know who they are and stuff like that.
You kept calling him Kodiak the past two episodes.
Yes.
And when I heard them say, oh, it's Cody, I'm like, no, it's Kodiak.
Kodiak? The bear.
Yeah. I wanted that instead of Cody.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, she recognizes the girls from the plane crash, which they're like, oh yeah, that happened like a long time ago. But to be fair, I think she was like, aren't they Canadian? So like they probably briefly got reported on, I imagine, about the plane going down.
Are they supposed to be Canadian?
I think. I don't know about Joe McHale, and definitely the girls are from New Jersey.
Yeah. Because we still don't know where they're at, right?
I think they've landed in the Canadian part of the border. I think they're in Canada. They're just in a very, like, wilderness area. Where apparently there's frogs? Is that track?
Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Just listing the first cities
Toronto
we know.
Raptors.
So yes.
Michael Ironside.
I think basically like they see Cody and Hannah as an opportunity to leave, right? And of course Lottie, Shauna, and Thaisa don't wanna leave. And we know that like Thaisa's in the like evil mode or whatever.
Yeah, primitive Thaisa.
Primitive Thaisa.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta call it something. But primitive Thaisa is fine. Showing more control. I guess that's supposed to mirror what's happening during the present time.
But it'd also be nice to understand that after, right, third season, give an explanation as to what that is, right?
I don't care. Thing? Yeah, it's not. Yeah, you know, like, I'm just done with it. I feel like they've had their chances, but they've sort of fumbled that explanation.
Bring back Lost. I mean, not Lost. Bring back From.
Yeah, I know. But isn't it going away for 2 years or something? I don't know. That was disappointing.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens in this episode?
Basically, yeah. Just... that like Natalie, I think we're finally seeing that how Natalie breaks, right? Like, yeah. She's kind of definitely the flashback stuff. Basically, yeah, Travis reveals to IKEA about the lying visions that she's just getting gassed up. So IKEA doesn't really believe in anything that she's really saying, even though Lottie's kind of like, go smell the gas. She had more visions. Yeah, but
drink more of this tea. Please. I'm telling you, this is the only way we connect with the earth. I'm like, dude.
So we'll jump around here, but like, how certain were you about who Hillary Swank was?
Like 99.9%.
Was this before or after she put the hat on? Because we had to have the hat to identify her Melissa.
That was, I gotta say, stupid. But
that was the dumbest.
None of the other fucking characters have done anything like that.
I know, yeah. It's like... yeah, as to like with
it. In fact, even fucking Van's scar on her face is different when she's older.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's only so many redheads, right? It's either going to be Lauren Ambrose, Bryce Dallas Howard, or Jessica Chastain.
Like, Ellie Kemper, Ella Fisher.
Yeah,
Julianne Moore,
Christina Hendricks. Just keep going. It's just, anyways, yeah, like, so that was literally one of the dumbest things this show's ever done. And not a fan of it. But we finally know now this is Melissa, and so interesting things that she apparently she married Hannah's daughter. And they have a daughter together. Which is weird, kind of like survivor's guilt thing. So yeah, makes me believe.
No, I don't know. I didn't really catch that for some reason, but yeah, interesting.
Hannah's, yeah, like basically like Shauna went to that home seeking Hannah's daughter that she had made the tape for, but found Melissa. Oh. And then Melissa goes on to explain like what happened and stuff like that. But I wasn't sure.
Dad, you know what I took from it? And I'm glad that makes way more sense than what I thought had happened. Maybe I just like looked away for a second when all that was happening. Mm-hmm. I thought that Shauna knew the whole time that fucking
Melissa
was alive. That's what I thought. I was like, what the fuck? This is getting weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, like, she says that she faked her death.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, that she faked her death? What's be interesting is she fakes her death and she doesn't leave on the plane. But that'd be kind of hard to explain. Like, how did she make it out of the wilderness and then...
Well, I'm starting to think that there's, you know, that we've been talking about, that there's going to be two factions. There's going to be the town people and the farmhouse people. I'm just kidding.
From, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that they're going to split as groups.
Well, I think it poses an interesting idea that, like, yes, there's the survivors that made it out, that made the press, but who did they leave behind? Are they still alive? You know, was Melissa one of the ones that that was found or not? Yeah. You know, or how did she escape? Because she says she faked her death and then she took on this new identity. So I imagine when we get back to like flashback stuff, we're going to see like Melissa and Hannah kind of bond over. They're going to become friends, because I think a lot of it is the reason why she probably did what she did is because of survivor guilt or like something happened. So I'm assuming Hannah is Pit Girl, right?
Yeah. And I'm also going to assume this is opening up the opportunity for more people to come out of the woodwork that would be related a degree away. Like, do you think Walter is actually related to one of the girls that died?
I feel like Walter is on. I don't think he's tied to them directly. I think he is who he was. You know, he basically was just this, and you know, the investigator similar to Misty. Yeah,
that got what was it? He fell on his head, or like something fell on his head.
Something like that. Yeah.
What was it?
I don't remember. Yeah, fan.
I keep forgetting about that.
It was a nice, good conversation between Shauna, Melissa in their kitchen, and kind of fleshes out that whole thing, you know, like, and that, like, basically Shauna's being like, basically they're framing her as the villain of this piece now. She's like full on now the bad person. It's not like layered or like understandable. No. Like, I feel like they're completely going hard on the idea that like Shauna was not, you know, the bad person.
Yes. but Shauna is still not the person that killed Lottie. So who the fuck killed Lottie?
Yeah.
I want it to be she just fucking fell down the stairs by accident.
There's no explanation to it. Yeah.
Just move on.
Yeah. Yeah. She's clumsy. She tripped and fell and died.
Like all these things where what Jeff and Callie have a conversation, they basically come to the conclusion
that Shauna.
Hey, Shauna is definitely a problem. Because every single thing that happened to her where she's like, somebody's trying to kill me, could easily be explained as like she did it to herself by accident.
Yeah. And he like totally showed out, like sold out Shauna here, right? Like, because he runs in the hotel, he runs into the clients, apologizes. It kind of explains pretty matter-of-factly, like, that Shauna's crazy, and that's what he likes. He likes crazy women. So, fair enough, right? And then that a lot of the blames Shauna for her behavior, and then, like, maintains that he's, like, you know, trustworthy. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he'll land that deal. I mean, that's probably the most exciting thing
that's happened to him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I kind of feel like they're setting up like, and I think it was early seeded, but it wasn't clear that Shauna doesn't like Callie. And I feel like that was more apparent in the first season before they started bonding over last season. But I feel like Shauna is such a small person and hurt ego, and she didn't really probably go to therapy and work on any of these problems, this inferiority she created, this bad dynamic she had with Jackie, right? And I feel like a lot of that might come to a head with Callie.
Hmm. You think Callie's going to have to be the one to kill Shauna? I'm just kidding.
I think that's possible, yeah. I think that's a real possibility that they're going to be, like, at each other's throats. Like, to what extent, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully it's something exciting, because as much as this episode is a little more interesting, I'm starting to lose steam on this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I understand that completely, yeah. Yeah, well, aside from that, Van looks like she's worsening. Thaisa couldn't kill that other patient. And then, of course, the badass ending of this episode.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, the Thaisa thing I thought was super funny, where she goes in there with Misty, and Misty's like, obviously understanding, you're going to offer up the thing, whatever this thing in the woods that we have no idea what it is after, like, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't do it. But then the guy, like, dies. It's just like, does that count?
Yeah, he dies. That was funny. That was actually really funny.
Yeah. And then Shauna takes a bite out of what's her name, Melissa.
Melissa, yeah, and makes her eat her own flesh.
So weird. Like, what's going on?
Like, yeah, Shauna's crazy.
I'm having a hard time. I mean, like, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
It's just, I like things for shock value's sake or whatever, but I'm not sure what what means to an end this is, or...
Yeah, I kind of just feel like they're setting up, like, Shauna as the bad person. I think that's what I got away, what I'm getting from it, you know? Like, she's going to be the...
Oh, and I think my theory still holds a little bit of water, where Shauna and Primitive Thaisa have been working together.
Yeah, because I think Primitive Thaisa wants to stay, right? She, like, sides with Shauna and Lottie and that whole group. So, yeah. All right, well, anyway. That was Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets, yay.
Yay.
I don't even think we got a cool song this episode.
No, I don't think so either. Hanging in there, just two more episodes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, kind of.
Like, two more episodes to see where they end, they conclude the season. Okay, let's move over to our main review of Wolfman. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
It's Geraldo. Coming in for the 5-word plot summary for a Wolfman. Coming in at number 3, father and son's hairy situation.
Yep.
Coming in at number 2 for Wolfman. Little girl plots father's death.
Yeah.
This is a long con, right? And coming in at number 1 for Wolfman. Boy grows up bad boyo.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we are getting another interpretation of the Wolfman. Universal has been trying for decades to, like, yeah, to, you know, do something with this, with these old franchises. And
which I'm super happy the fucking Dark Universal did not pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really dumb. Yeah. That was when it was like they were doing the Avengers had just hit, so they were trying to do like their own Avengers style team up movie.
Yeah.
But they instead went with Lee Winnell's to write a new version of the Wolfman because of off the success of the Invisible Man, which was excellent. I thought that movie was excellent. That was during COVID, right? That happened. That movie was released during COVID. As a fan of Lee Winnell, do you think he did a good job here, John, with Wolfman?
I don't know. I feel like there's like a lot of, there had to have been maybe studio interference or, I feel like this was something that they were trying to get going when then the writer's strike happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of things missing from the movie. It feels a little too paint by numbers to be a Lee Winnell movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that from like, there are a lot of things I liked about this movie, but there's a lot of things I didn't like about this movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I'm just completely just mixed on it because I think they did some...
Oh, because the little girl's not very good?
I would say... <Just kidding. laughs> I would say she's not even the worst offender here. I think there's somebody else that I thought was awful in this movie. And a lot of that is just probably underwritten and lack of season's performance. I was not a fan of Julia Gardner's performance at all. I thought it lacked any real depth.
Oh my God. I had a bigger issue with, I kept forgetting Julia Gardner was supposed to be playing his wife and not his fucking daughter.
Because
their relationship felt very father daughter, not.
I almost feel like.
Not like I love you. Yeah.
I almost feel like maybe they cast her too young.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is, it's also apologies to Julia Garner, but even at 30 years old, she still comes across as like a 23-year-old.
Yes, and some of that I think is the writing, and some of that is I think is just lack of just direction and acting. Just nothing really worked. I don't think she worked, and I don't think she has any kind of like chemistry either with the lead, Christopher Abbott. I mean, they have no chemistry whatsoever.
exactly why I kept thinking it was like a father-daughter thing.
I quite liked Christopher Abbott. I tend to like when he pops up and stuff, I tend to like him in the stuff he does.
Did you watch Kraven the Hunter?
I did not. So.
Okay, it's fucking terrible. But he comes out and he actually is like a fun part.
Yeah, like he's a good actor, and I'm like, I could see why they would kind of rest this franchise with him, or not franchise, but like this movie on him. Why you would cast somebody like him? Because he's really good. But I also feel like a lot of the I was trying to figure out what don't I like about these early scenes. And I think what it is that I feel like a lot of the writing is them explaining in the moment how they feel instead of showing it.
Yeah.
So it was super like on the nose, the writing, like what each scene was supposed to mean and each scene was supposed to be like. So that kind of took away a lot of the emotion from it, aside from the fact that the little girl, I think I almost feel like maybe they cast her too young. She looked a little too old to be the way she was talking. You know what I mean? The way the dialogue that she was speaking was a little too young for her.
Oh, like they wrote her as
too young. Yeah, like they wrote her too young, even though like she seemed a bit older than what she was playing.
So when she did this movie, she would have been like 9 or 10.
That didn't seem like a 9 or 10 year old, in my opinion. In my opinion, it seemed a bit younger.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
Though I like the idea that there's a story. There's a story element here. I don't think it was fully explored because there's an interesting dynamic here in their relationship that the one all's kind of like props up is that Charlotte doesn't have a good relationship with Ginger, and Ginger is more, sees more of Christopher Abbott's character, Blake, as like the father. And she doesn't have that relationship. And I feel like that's seeded early on when she says as much that she doesn't know her daughter or something along those lines.
That's another thing I don't understand. It was I started to think when I finally put it out of my head that Abbott and Garner were not father and daughter. That maybe she was a newer wife or something, and that wasn't her daughter, but I think it is supposed to be she gave birth to that girl, right?
Right. I think they set that up, but then I don't think they, by the end of this movie, they're just like running away from things. There's no like, there's never that moment where like Julia Garner finally assumes a parental role or like a protective parental role. They're just sort of like running to one incident, to one incident, to one incident. Like she never really kind of, I think it's set up in the beginning for her to like step up to that point, you know, but I never really like fully embraces it's very muddied what happens with her.
It keeps just going back to, and like spoiler alert, but the main guy turns into the Wolfman. in case you hadn't figured it out.
Right.
It just keeps it relied heavily on Abbott, even though he's reverting to primitive instincts, still maintaining that he's a father first or something, even when he's like,
yeah,
changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm like, God, no, you gotta pass it. There's no way unless they're going to find a cure for him. I didn't think so.
I thought he was for sure doomed.
What I thought. That's why I said like, then I don't know why they keep relying on him. Like they're trying to do the 30 days of night thing where he's like, I'm going to be a vampire that fights another vampire or some bullshit. Like,
well, I think they're trying to, I took a lot of that stuff as like him transforming before he was completely like, you know, completely turned. He was still kind of had like human characteristics and stuff. But I know I said a lot of negative stuff, but there's, I just want to highlight quick things I did like. I thought cinematography was great. I thought Lee Wan had some great, like, build intentions in the early on in this movie, especially like the first part of it, where it's young Blake and like his dad out there in the woods and stuff. I thought all that stuff was excellent. You know, I was like, this, especially the early scene stuff, I thought, man, this is really great. It's just when we kind of got to like the main plot, older Blake and stuff like that, that I think it, the movie kind of like becomes really shaky. But I love the...
Which is like older Blake, for whatever reason, when you first get introduced to him, right, when it turns into Abbott, it's like he's meek and afraid of everything. And then that like immediately disappears when the fucking Pierce style U-Haul truck goes off the cliff.
Yeah, the early on they did try to set up that he had that overprotective temperness when his daughter doesn't do something he says, and then kind of like he kind of shows the same characteristics of his dad, the way his dad treated him. But I feel like they didn't go.
You feel like he was justified in that, and that wasn't a good example, because I would have been like, get the fuck off of the barriers.
Yeah, it was just such an out of character moment. And I feel like I almost feel like the dad should have, like the way it was played, like it should have been like he was more abusive rather than protective.
Yeah, he was too, I wasn't catching, oh, I was afraid of my dad. I'm like, why? He was just overprotective.
He seemed to have him, well, early on in the movie, he kind of just has him very like military-ish, like, you get up at this time, you got to do this, we do this, you can't, you know, he had a dog, but it was like he couldn't, like, if his dad entered the room, he had to, like, be high alert, right? He had to be like, oh, we're doing this, like, he had to be very proper, which doesn't really bleed into, like, his adulthood either.
No, but that whole situation he was living in over, like, in where, anywhere, Oregon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very doomsday prepper militia.
See, that would have made more sense than what we got. I feel like the movie just gave us a lot of half explanations to things.
Yeah, like his own crest, right? Like a military brand of his last name, Lowell, and he had his crest, he had a CB radio, and he had to talk to Dan Lee Winall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
And then
a little weird explanation, right? The it's out there. I saw it. I'm going to catch it. Okay.
But it's kind of going on. Yeah. Like that whole thing is kind of almost in a way like justifies why he's raising them this way.
Yeah.
Right. Because he knows where they currently live or they're choosing to live. Like you have to live this way because there's like this outer thing, you know, there's this fucking wolfman thing out there that roams the Oregon woods.
The Oregon Trail,
yeah.
And everybody's gonna die of dysentery.
Was that what that disease is? Is that what they're talking about? Dysentery?
Dysentery, yeah.
But yeah, like...
It's just like, but there is like, a piggybacking off of what you said, I didn't hate this movie at all. I enjoyed it for the most part.
Right.
But there's like just unbelievable moments. Like, guys, you're in a fucking forest. There's sticks everywhere. Just throw two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they'll run after them and you run the other direction.
And I feel like we never really saw enough of the Wolfman either. Like,
yeah.
And I think the take, the sort of different spin and take that Lee Winall had here was that the Wolfman is a... it's a disease, right? Like it's something you contract and he's sort of like slowly transforming body horror and all of like stuff, which is like that really well executed, like in its face, right? Like the design and the look of it. I especially liked when he started seeing things from his point of view, right? Like he's able to...
From more of like a wolf sort of supernatural perspective,
right? Heightened senses, he can hear better, he can kind of see. The way they kind of explain it is like he's like shimmering kind of like light and stuff, but
which is what like I think because they have like a higher sensitivity to light,
right,
to see things.
I thought that was cool. That was like, oh, okay, that's cool, like the way they're kind of slowly showing it and revealing it and stuff like that. Interesting things in the movie. I just think the plot kind of is almost too simplistic, where there isn't any wiggle room to kind of do anything fun or twisty about it.
No, literally, he's just what his dad has been declared deceased because he's been lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They go move there. Why?
Because he had such a great childhood. So yeah, he's like, yeah. Oh, let's go back.
I didn't. I was like, did I miss something? Like,
yeah,
why are they just up and moving from where were they? Like Seattle or
something like that. Big city, right? Some nowhere big city. Yeah, like I felt like he should have the adult version. We like it's almost like we should have spent more time with. He should have felt either way about it. Like, did he enjoy his childhood or didn't enjoy it? Like, why is he going back? Like, what's the motivation? They seem to have landed on like their marriage is kind of like falling apart a bit, right?
So we should go move out in the middle of the forest. Which
made no sense. Absolutely no sense. It was pretty clunky, the reasons to get out here. So,
and then, yeah, like what they pick up, he thinks he's going down the right road, and I guess he might have been going down the right road, but it got blocked off a long time ago, and
mm-hmm.
his old neighbor's son, who I guess was not his friend, I don't know.
It's weird, right? Because
I was like, why was that character even there? But okay, so I guess for like a guy to die, but
yes, but the way they again, it seems the world seems really small, right? Because it says here the character's name was Derek, so Derek was about his age, and their dads knew each other. These one they're like CB radio talking with each other in the first scene.
Oh, Dan. Yeah.
Okay. And so are they trying to say that this could have been what his life would have been? Because when we meet him, he's up in one of those like hideouts or whatever.
Deer hides. Yeah.
And he has a gun very similar to how his dad dressed and had a gun with him, you know. And so but then he just starts behaving. He tells him that like, oh, no, this isn't the entrance. We're going to take you somewhere else. And then he just acts very weird, behaves odd, which
also like another part of the movie where I'm like, I'm not buying it. I know I wouldn't be afraid of this guy. He's
right.
Like the actor is just too nice and sincere. I don't know. There's no like.
Yeah, I agree. Like he was just kind of odd, right? He's just weird. He's just a weird dude because he's probably did. What I took from it was that he is probably lonely. He's probably had to take up when his dad, he's probably taking up what his dad is doing, kind of passing on of like protecting this hill mountains area from whatever was there. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
But then very quickly they're driving and it's nighttime and they have to veer off the road because there's a quick glimpse of, a wolf man. And they careen off a fucking like sort of mini cliff,
right?
And Jurassic Park themselves into a tree,
which is a fun sequence that they showed in the trailer, which I mean I thought it was a cool little like execution, but though it rapidly happened too fast, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of like very staged, or I don't know how to describe it. Didn't seem realistic.
And then there was like that was also a moment where it was like, does this Wolfman have like superhuman strength? Because it really didn't seem like it later. But I think that's just kind of odd moments of like, oh, they can run fast, but then when you see the actor trying to run on all fours, obviously it's not going to look fast. It's like not a natural thing for a human person to do. But I don't know.
I agree.
And then he gets scratched, and I don't remember seeing that.
I think they did slow it down. Yeah, they slowed it down, and they kind of just show. It just was very quick. It looked like. It didn't even look like a scratch. It looked like he was just like it looked like he was kind of trying to close the door, and then like he like barely he hit the door or something, the wolf, and then somehow he got scratched.
Oh. Very. Yeah, because it was like a gnarly scratch apparently later.
Right, yeah.
When the daughter's like, are you sick? Because he's like starting to lose cognitive abilities, I guess.
Right.
Cognitive abilities, yeah. Which we briefly discussed beforehand, what the parallels were supposed to be and what disease, and it would make more sense. I kind of wish that was left in the movie. This is American Sign Language. What's it? What is it?
ALS.
ALS. Not to be made fun of, folks.
How dare you?
Moving on.
Guys, don't make fun of ALS.
Yeah. Guys are jerks. Or sign language. Jeez.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, that would have been a better parallel. I think that's what this movie was missing. I feel like Lee went all right from either experience or like people he knows type of deal.
I think conceiving this idea as like a sort of body horror, like almost The Fly type movie, which I think is so funny because we just saw The Fly. We just reviewed The Fly. And then this movie comes up and it's kind of, he's clearly making reference to that transformation.
There was something about this movie that just felt fast, right? Like everything was just kind of rushing to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. What else is there to say? Like, yeah, he just starts to lose his abilities to communicate. He even straight up writes down in a paper that he's dying. And they're fighting another Wolfman, and it's like, what is this Wolfman? Like, who could it possibly be?
Well, we gotta get into spoilers for that one.
Oh, okay. So I was hoping there'd be one.
Let's go to spoilers. Let's reveal who the Wolfman is.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So at the beginning of the movie, his dad is really hell-bent on finding this thing. And then he disappears in the woods. I guess he's dead. What? The other Wolfman is his dad? What?
No reaction from anybody. Nobody.
No.
There's just no follow-up on this idea. We know because he had the Wolfman is has the same tattoo, right?
Yeah, his Lowell family crest. I don't know. Whatever.
It is. Yeah.
Not family crest. Yeah. Whatever. But that was, a kind of a... When he pulls up the sleeve and Abbott at this point has already like lost communication skills, but can still like sort of see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, I just killed my dad.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Cause even that, I was just like,
what a weird unnecessary twist, right? Like, I think this movie has just a lot of half-baked ideas, right? This whole father-son thing that's sort of passed on.
Making it his dad doesn't serve anything anymore, right? Because it's like past that point.
Yeah.
Like they should have figured out that it was his dad.
And
maybe like 20, 30 minutes before that.
The Christopher Abbott, like main character, can't even speak about it. He's kind of lost the ability to talk. He's becoming like whatever this is, like a wolf. So he's like can't even react to it or like say anything in emotionally about it. It's more of a reveal for the audience. You could easily trim that out and it wouldn't matter.
No.
Cause
no.
It almost seems like this Wolfman thing is second, right? Like,
yeah, or kind of like these other ideas of something we didn't point out was at the beginning of the movie. Abbott is yelling at his daughter because she's not listening and they're in a big city and she's like jumping on this barricade where the cars are zooming by. And she's like he's kind of yelling at her. And I know it's supposed to be presented like, wow, he's being really harsh on her. I didn't think he was at all. I didn't even think he was actually yelling, to be honest. Like, and the little girl's reaction to it is more like, ugh, whatever, right? Even though she's supposed to be like a 9-year-old.
Right. Well, yeah, I did mention that. And it's kind of like the tone of it, like
I was going to mention there's an ongoing thing in the movie that was kind of irritating me.
Yes, yes.
Where what are you talking about? He's like, "Hey, what am I thinking? Because you're good at this," or something, right? You have this special ability, like playing with his daughter, and his daughter's like, "You're thinking that you really love your daughter a lot?" He's like, "Yeah, you're so good at this." And then he does it again a second time when he's churning. And then a third time, she's like, "What am I thinking, Daddy?" Because he's like turning into a wolf man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert, she uses that to convince her mom to shoot her dad.
Right.
Mm. I'm sure that's going to be great when she gets older. Everything about all this trauma is going to be fine.
I mean, I knew once they said that like, oh yeah,
it was going to be a fucking thing.
It's going to be a fucking thing at the end of the movie when they fucking have to kill him. Clearly he's died. It's like, it's clearly choreographed for him to die, you know? So, well, yeah, I mean, spoiler, he died.
Along with it goes back to the deer hide that they both hid in from whatever Wolfman was out there at the very beginning of the movie when he was a kid.
Right.
And what they should have done was shot the Wolfman then and there, and then this would have all been over.
Yeah.
But he needed the power of... I'll give it this. It took a woman to end it, so...
Sure. Yeah.
There you go. I'll give it that. Congrats, at least.
Yeah.
But again, I feel like I'm talking about the movie like I thought it was utter dog shit or wolf shit.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
What's wolf shit like? Is he just more goopy or like?
I think it's wet? Much larger. Yeah. Right, because like wolves in person are like fucking gigantic. Like an average size wolf is like huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a tiger size almost.
Okay. I mean, anything you tell me, I believe you. I have no idea. Oh. You
literally tell me anything. Yeah, wolves in person are like fucking huge. Like huge, huge.
Okay. But yeah, I just... Very clunky in execution, but not terrible bad.
No, it just felt like it was missing a lot of stuff, right? Like stuff that I felt like might have been there and then just got cut out.
Right. Right. Alrighty. Do you have any thoughts?
Nope. I was like, is there anything missing? No,
not really. Yeah, that's kind of it. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Leonel's Wolfman 6 sexy spooky wolves.
I feel like I'm right there too, but I'll give it a 5. I think it was a 5 in retrospect because I feel like after I finished the movie, I was like, "There's a lot of stuff I liked, but there's a lot of stuff I didn't like." But after talking about it with you, it's like I focused all on the negatives and of the movie and stuff. So I'll give it a 5. Nice. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.